If you have a Bible this evening, turn with us into 1 Samuel chapter number 12. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. Let's stand tonight in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We want to start reading in verse number 16 of 1 Samuel chapter number 12. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find that on around page 331. If you don't, just do the best you can. Amen. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Samuel's talking, one of the greatest prophets that the Lord had ever called. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call on the Lord and he shall send thunder and rain. I want to be able to pray like that, don't you? That you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you've done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. I'd be listening to what that man had to say if I was in that congregation. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not. For we've added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. Samuel said unto the people, fear not, you've done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Turn you not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Verse 23, I'd like to deal with this tonight. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Father, we love you tonight. I pray now you let preaching be easy. Help us, God, in the teaching tonight. I pray you'd open these verses to our heart. Help us. Help me, Lord, with the things I've studied. I'm a needy preacher tonight. I pray you'd let us be a blessing to your people. Touch all those that we've asked special prayer for tonight. God, Miss Tassa, we want to pray for her especially this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the good news from young Hunter that we've had. God, the family in Villarica tonight, Lord, that's lost a loved one, you know their needs this hour. I pray that you'd help them like only you can help our country. Oh, we pray tonight you'd send leadership to our country that would lead us in the ways of the Lord. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you notice in verse 23 this evening where Samuel was talking and it said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And tonight I'd like to teach on this topic on the sin of prayerlessness. The sin of prayerlessness. Did you see what Samuel said? He said that I don't want to sin against the Lord in not praying for you. You know, this verse brings to light a total different view of the sin of prayerlessness. Now, sin can be two kinds of ways in our life. It consists in either doing what I know to be wrong. In 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 4. In other words, I sin when I do something that I know that is wrong. For the Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So it consists of either in doing what I know to be wrong or sin, like I read tonight in the text verse, can be the failure to do what I know to be right. Sin is the failure to do what I know to be right. James 4 and verse number 17. James 4 and verse number 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I meant to do that. Well, I would bring this question to us tonight. Would that be sin, knowing something that we should do and do not do it? You know, a lot of times we mean to be a blessing to somebody, but you know, the smallest deed is better than the greatest intention. Amen? And so tonight, sin can be two kinds. So these are the sins of omission and commission of what we say. And then it is a question as to which one is worse, the sin of omission or commission. You see, the one that fails to do right, both sins are equal before God. Prayer is possible for every child of God, however. Every Christian can pray. You see, we cannot all give large sums of money because we all don't have a lot of money. We can't all go to the mission field like this family with us tonight. We can't all teach a class like those out back and those downstairs. But I tell you what we all can do is pray. You know, they have, said that the kids can't say a prayer in school, but that's no way that can happen because our children can always pray. It might not be a gathering around the flagpole and somebody lead out, but I'm going to tell you tonight, our children and our country and we as the children of God, we all can pray. I want to ask you something tonight. How is your prayer life today? Why is prayerlessness a sin? I want to ask you that question and deal with it in the Scripture. If God said that, and He did, because the Bible is inerrant and it's inspired, everything in this Bible is right. By the way, we don't need a new Bible. We just need to try to get in the one we got. Amen? And so if this Bible teaches us this, why is prayerlessness a sin? Have you ever thought about being prayerless being a sin? I want to say, first of all, prayerlessness, because by prayerlessness, the cross of Christ is degraded. Or it's put at a low ebb. It's sort of put to the side. Because by prayerlessness, the cross of Christ is degraded. Now, first of all, one of the highest privileges of the Christian life has to do with the access of God. If it was not for the cross of Calvary, we couldn't get to God tonight. You see, there is an untold price. When Jesus died on the cross, He said it was finished. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. It signified that God had tore this curtain from the top to the bottom to make a way for the Gentile people. Aren't you glad God made a way for us? And He made it only by His Son. Now, we hear a lot about the Muslim faith this evening. They say that Jesus was a good man and a good prophet, but our Bible goes way beyond that. He was God-man. And if you neglect Christ, you'll die and go to hell in your sin. You see, a lot of people believe in God, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. And so we must make much of Christ in our church. Now, if because by prayerlessness the cross of Christ is degraded, there is an untold price. This veil was rent and access was made. Thank God there was a way made for me and you by the cross at Calvary. In Hebrews 10 and verse number 9, let's watch this powerful verse this evening. In Hebrews 10 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, "Then said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, Christ man, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, This is the covenant that I will make them. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their hearts, and their minds will I write them." I want to say something right there. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. What is He talking about? The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. He said, the Holy Ghost will confirm to you that this Word of God is right. If the devil ever asks you, is this real? Is God really real? Is Jesus really real? Well, what about the Holy Ghost that lives in us? Thank God, honey, let me tell you something. I know He lives tonight because there's somebody lives up in here that I didn't have nothing to do with. I'm glad He climbed inside one day and made me a new creature in the cause of Christ. Thank God, I'm glad the Holy Ghost is a witness. I was thinking today in our church services, isn't it a blessing when the Holy Ghost just floods our auditorium? People begin to weep and shout and enjoy the good blessings of God. He said, I tell you, I'll give you the Holy Ghost to prove what I'm saying is right. Thank God we are in a Holy Ghost church tonight. The Bible said in verse number 16, this is a covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Watch this. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Here it is, by a new and a living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, because by prayerlessness the cross of Christ is degraded. In other words, we don't take an account of the great privilege that we have, that God has made an access for us. What a privilege to have an access to the throne of God. Now the untold price, the veil was rent. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Turn to the left in your Bibles. Hebrews 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Somebody said, well, Christ could have sinned, but He didn't know He couldn't. He was the spotless lamb. He was God. God can't tolerate sin. There was no way the Lord Jesus Christ could sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This word boldly, underline it. You might make this notation. It means an unreserved speech. The good and the bad. Be open and plain. You know what's so hard about talking to God sometimes is being honest. A lot of times we want to pray and ask God for things or thank Him for some things, but when it gets right down to that sin down in the bottom of our heart that we're hiding, it's hard to tell Him that. But He said, come boldly. Don't hold one word back. Tell Him everything. You'll go to getting help when you get honest with God. And so I'm glad we've got a God we can be honest to. And then number two, I'm glad we've got a God. Look what He said right here, buddy. This will help you, friend. He said that it is a throne of grace. I'm glad He didn't say it was a throne of law. But boy, isn't it wonderful when we sin, we can come to Him and confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad when we come to Him, when we're so honest to Him? He ought to take a stick and beat us over the head, but not our God. No, not our God. Because it's a throne of grace and a throne of mercy. Come boldly, unreserved speech, the good and the bad. Be open and be plain. Watch this. He said that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This untold price. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, because by prayerlessness, the cross of Christ is degraded. When we don't access that we could access, we are belittling our opportunities because of the cross. Now, we see in Romans 5, verse 1, what a wonderful verse of Scripture. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1. Well, you're talking about something that has set you free. Romans 5. Verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Oh, I sure am glad that we're justified. How? By faith. And look, we have peace with God. How? Only through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're just going to tell somebody to be saved tonight, how would you tell them to be saved? To be baptized? To do good? Come to church? This Bible teaches us that we must have faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I had an email this week from a lady. Me and my wife had read it, been praying about. She's from Texas. She was raised in the Church of Christ Church, and she'd asked me about the doctrines of grace and how to be saved, and I'd responded. And I did that Sunday evening before church time Sunday night. She reported back to me Monday. She had told her husband, which was a preacher, and told him that she didn't believe the things that their church was teaching. And they believe that you're regenerated by being baptized, by washing away your sins. And so she denounced their doctrine to her husband and said, it's not right what I'm being taught. I've looked for myself to see, and I found it out to be a lie. He went and told the elders of their church. And Sunday night, the elders told her that she must stand up tonight. At this time, as I'm preaching to you this evening, she's to stand up and tell her church family that she has been reading heresy. And she's to deny the grace through faith of God, or they're going to excommunicate her out of her church. Now, let me tell you something. There's some people living a miserable life tonight. I sure am glad Jesus come and offered me life. I'm glad we're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing minus nothing. It's what His Son's done for us on the cross. The Bible said He's given every man a measure of faith. Therefore, we can access that grace He's done for us by the faith He's already given us. And I sure am glad we can be born again by the mighty hand of God tonight. I believe in baptism. I believe a man needs to be baptized after he's saved. But that water ain't going to do nothing, friend. It's just a witness that we've been buried in the likeness of Christ and been raised in the newness of Christ. So tonight, because of prayerlessness, the cross of Christ is degraded. Our access. Look what He's done for you and me that we may have access to Him. He put His Son on a cross that we may access Him. So it's an untold price. But number two, I want to say it's an untrod place. The price is paid, but the path is not used. Now, we find in Matthew 5 and 6, we have closet praying. What's He talking about? Do we have to go to a closet every time we pray? I want to make a mention right here in Matthew 6 and verse number 5 this evening. Now, talking about the sin of prayerlessness, I asked you, if we go all week without praying, have we sinned? Now, the price is paid, but the path is not used. There's a closet of praying in Matthew 6 and verse number 5. The Bible said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street. Somebody said, if you will pray privately, you won't have to get caught up publicly. Amen. And in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Or here, Christ is talking about your private place. And when thou hast shut the door, a secret place, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So here, this untrod place, we find that the access is meant to be used. The privilege is meant to be valued. And the gift is meant to be treasured. When we neglect the path, we discount the cross that opened it. Do you understand that tonight? When we neglect the path, then certainly we discount the cross that opened it. Number two, the sin of prayerlessness. Not only because by prayerlessness the cross of Christ is degraded, but because by prayerlessness the church of Christ is deprived. I'm convinced tonight that we've got one of the greatest churches in America. But I ask this to you. If every member of Liberty Baptist Church spent time praying every week, where could this church go and what could this church be? What could your preacher be if you prayed for him? What could your teachers be? What could the leadership of this church be? What could the assistant pastor be? What could the youth pastor be if we really spent time praying? Because by prayerlessness, the church of Christ is to pray. Now listen, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things, and the absence of prayer means that things are not changed. Can I say that again? Would y'all come in out from Walmart tonight? Prayer changes things, and the absence of prayer means that things are not changed. James 5, verse number 13. James 5, verse number 13. Here James is writing, and he's writing to the New Testament church, and this is what he says. Is any among you afflicted or suffering? Yet let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? I still believe in this verse tonight. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another privately. Be careful who you tell them to. They'll turn them on you like a rending lion. Be careful. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Watch this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer changes things, and the absence of prayer means that things are not being changed. I wonder how we could change things in our assembly. You know something that bothers me in our Sunday morning worship hour? We have a great spirit. Many times we just don't have a lot of power. Sinners are here and they can walk out seemingly untouched. We have people here that's been so gospel hard, have never made a profession for Christ. That bothers me. It ought to bother you as a local New Testament church. It ought to bother you as your preacher goes out preaching in other places that you've not prayed for him that day. That ought to bother you. It ought to bother you that you've not prayed for our youth. It ought to bother you that you've not prayed for sinners in our church and prayer. Where could the church go if God's people would really pray? Prayer changes things. I wonder what would happen if we all come in prayed up. We had all of our sins confessed and was praying for God to do great things Sunday morning. I wonder how many people could be saved. I'm going to tell you folks, the ball is in our court many times. We come in and say, well, let's hurry up and get out. Well, God don't move like that. We ought to come in anticipating God to do something in our midst. We need to get out of formality. Formality's killing us. Remember when you first got saved and how excited you was about Jesus? Remember when you had burdens for your lost loved ones? Let me ask you something. What's going to happen when one day that your loved one's going to be cast in hell and you know about it? That bothers me. I've got a nephew. I've got cousins. I've got an uncle that I try to pray for dogmatically in Tennessee that the good grace of God would bring salvation to their house. We're not right with God if sinners don't burden us. And tonight I want to have a church where sinners are welcome. Not their practice, but their soul. It don't matter tonight how they're dressed. It don't matter about skin color. Don't matter what they're driving. We're all going to meet God just like one another. And we must be saved by the grace of God. Because by prayerlessness the church of Christ is depraved. Let me ask y'all something. It don't take you long to visit around. And I'm not tooting nobody's horn. I'm telling you, God's been good here. But let me ask y'all something. If we all joined together, one mind, one accord, and really prayed that God would do great and marvelous things, what could this ministry be? And I'm going to tell you, this ministry is not going to go any further out of them walls to the people of God get on their knees again and ask God to do something big. Now, tonight, if prayer changes things, then the absence of prayer means that things are not changed. 1 Timothy, you see, the resources are there, but many times they remain untapped. Look at 1 Timothy 2 and 1. I'm going to share this with you. I'll be closing down. Got one more point I'm going to share with you after this, but I want you to pin this down maybe in your Bible to help you. Here Paul was writing to Timothy and explained something to him about praying, and I thank you to help everybody here tonight. The resources are there, but many times they remain unused. He says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now let's break this verse down, supplication. It means a request. It means to bring to Him our need or our lacks. Our needs or our lacks. A request is supplication. Secondly, He mentions prayers. That's worship or adoration. When we pray, not only do we ask Him about our needs and our lacks, but we ought to praise Him and thank Him in the form of worship of what He's done for us. Thirdly, intercession. That's what I'm talking about tonight. That's where others are benefited by. Are you praying for anybody that anybody else will be benefited by your praying? Intercessions. See, plural, intercessions. Coming on behalf of somebody else. Have you thought about this? Your loved ones can't pray. The only prayer they can pray is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. For God heareth not the prayer of sinners, what the book says. He only hears prayer through His Son. Tonight, intercessions. Is anybody else being benefited by your prayer? Listen, you might not can give. You might not can visit. You might not can teach or sing, but you can pray. And then giving of thanks, which is just simply thankfulness. I sure would hate to know that I got up from praying and didn't thank Him for something. Prayer's changed my life, church. I'll be honest with you, when I was in the corporate world, I don't even see how I was just touching the hem of things. But now, this is my 6th year full-time ministry, and it's amazing to me what my prayer life has done for me. It's my goal to pray every morning when I first get up and go to my prayer place before I go to bed. I had a preacher friend last night text me. It was about 11:30. He said, Brother Ken, I want to let you know I'm going to my prayer place for you tonight. Could I ask you this as your preacher this evening? Do you have a place you could go for me? Do you have a place you can go for your loved ones? If not, get you one. Everybody needs their closet. Everybody needs their special place. Ladies, I'm not just talking about on your pillow before you go to sleep saying a prayer. Do you have a place that you go pray? Jesus taught us this. And the sin of prayerlessness is terrible tonight. Have you ever thought about not praying as sin? Sort of brings new light to our Christian life, does it not? Thirdly, you see, because by prayerlessness the cross of Christ is degraded. Because by prayerlessness the church of Christ is deprived. But lastly tonight, because by prayerlessness the cause of Christ is declined. are weakened. As I've already said, I wonder where this church could go. I wonder where our Christian life could go. I wonder where our witness could go. There is access we can enjoy. Thank God Jesus made a way for us. There are answers we're meant to receive. I sure am glad I can pray to God and get the answers. Let me tell you this tonight, when in doubt, don't. When in doubt, don't. That's when you're going to get in trouble. When you've got question, pray till God gives you the light where there's no question. There is access we can enjoy. There are answers we're meant to receive. And thirdly, there is an enemy we must defeat. This is a warfare. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 12, I can tell you many times why the enemy prevails on us because we don't pray. Ephesians 6 and verse number 12, the great warfare chapter. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know, if I was telling a young preacher tonight to do one of two things, if he had to lack either that of study or that of prayer, I would say, lack your study time, but don't miss your prayer time. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 3, last place I go this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things at the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast something more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For this letter say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we also indeed when we are present. I won't say this tonight. I found out if I'm going to pray, I have to have a convenient place. I have two places that I pray. One is convenient, one is not convenient. And I can tell you the one I find myself in more, the one that's convenient. Get you a convenient place to pray. But let it be a private place. Let it be a place, not that you lay down on your pillow and pray, but a place that you go and you practice discipline every day of your life, that you go to that place and you talk to God. How do you talk to God? You talk to Him in supplications. Let your requests be made known unto God. Talk to Him through intercessions, praying for somebody else. Talk with Him in thanksgiving. Let your praises come up to Him in your prayer place. I guarantee you tonight, You are not going to stand against this world till your prayer life gets to where it needs to be. We live in a world that is anti-Christ. It's fine, mention God, but don't say nothing about Christ. It's anti-Christ. Our schools have become anti-Christ. And it's amazing the churches that have become anti-Christ. I don't know about y'all, but I want Him in here. And I want to have that kind of fellowship with Him. I encourage you to get you a place to pray. And I encourage you, like never ever before, get in and pray. Our leadership of our church needs your prayers. Our young people need your prayers. We need each other's prayers. And only heaven will reveal. Only heaven will reveal what your prayers have done while we was in this walk of life. Thank you for being here tonight. If you'd stand with us. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you for that of the access of prayer. How, Lord, you've made a way for us at Calvary. Lord, you've provided a way through your Son. Thank you for that. Lord, I want to thank you for the action of praying. Thank you, Lord, that we can go to our prayer place and pray. God, we want to thank you for the acceptance of praying. Thank you, Lord, you said that you would hear our prayer. We can come to you, to the throne of grace. We can come boldly and tell you that we need. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for our good church, our people. I want to thank you, Lord, for the ministries that flow out of this place. Help us to be mindful to pray one for another. Help us, Lord, that this prayer list that Miss Noel fixes, that it just won't be a fixture in our Bible, but God, we would access your throne and pray for your people. Help us, Lord, to be obedient people in a church that has power, a church that has great witness, a church that has a great testimony. Help our young people. God, help each teacher and our leaders, each family. And we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank y'all for